1-800, whatever that number is, and then the other one. We got two of them. I don't know which one you want to call tonight. Phil Henry. So we got Joe Dickhead. We have, I think we're going to have somebody checking in from Joyful Union where they have their big Halloween party. Mavis, along with Pastor William Rennick and her nephew Robert, will be on with us. And we also have a number of, I think, very interesting Halloween stories to read to you tonight. As we did last year, we don't really read scary stories that are fictitious or fantasy. We dig into the crime files. And last year, as you know, we read the entire case history of Jack the Ripper. This year, I have gone through my files, and I was downstairs with Mike, and I was sort of like, I really find this stuff fascinating, Mr. Schaefer, don't you? And he's like, he's looking at me like, cut it out, man, quit screwing around. I'm not screwing around. Henry Lee Lucas, wonderful material.
Yeah, but he was a bloodletter.
Well, yes, but he was very ingenious, wasn't he? Anyway, we'll be reading about Henry Lee Lucas, one of the famous serial murderers of the 20th century, along with his partner Otis Toole. And we also have a variety of vampire stories, true vampire stories, that we're going to be reading. We also have some material about a particularly devilish man by the name of Albert Fish and his exploits in the early part of the 20th century as part of our Halloween 99 true crime file, as we do each and every year. And going through some of this stuff, I realize I'm pulling a lot of it off the internet. I will give the people, whoever need the appropriate credit, appropriate credit. There's one lady, I forget her name, I don't even want to mention her name, frankly, because she has a morbid fixation with these people, and she's like in direct contact and communication with them, and I think she fell in love with him, and she's a journalist. It was really wiggy, man. I decided not to use any of her stuff, in fact, for fear that she'd be listening and come after me. I don't know how. I mean, just with a secret potion or an evil spell, or she'll throw some bones, or I don't know what. So we're going to do that a little bit later on in our program as well. We also have Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we can't hit this too hard. Safety is certainly a very primary concern around Halloween. You're sending the kids out there in the streets. They're getting their candy. They're getting their kicks. And you certainly want to make sure that they are safe. So Jay is going to be on to tell you about safety at Halloween time. And then we're off and running, man, into the wild blue yonder. And I'll get to go home and I'll listen to the kids bellyaching one more time that they don't have Monday off, even though they're Catholics. Because Monday used to be All Saints Day. And we used to get...
Buonasera. Vi ringraziamo per aver scelto di volare con Phil Henry Air. Voleremo ad un'altitudine di 30.000 piedi e cappuccino. Il volo di stasera offrirà Al Pacino.
Hi, everybody. This is Vic Prowl, and welcome to the Phil Henry Show. Vic Prowl filling in here. Thanks a lot, Phil, for giving me the opportunity to tune in tonight here to the Vic Prowl sitting in for Phil Henry portion of this program this evening. As you heard Phil say, he's going to have a few things that he's got to do this evening. So Vic Prowl standing by right here on the radio station tonight. Our number 1-800-449-8686 here on the nationally syndicated Phil Henry Show. And I got to tell you something. It is exciting for me to be a part of this. It is exciting for me to be heard in so many different markets, so many different parts of this wonderful country. And we got some things that we're going to do tonight. To be quite honest with you, I was called in a little bit late because I found out later on that Phil had some things that he had to do, and so he's not going to be with you, and so I wasn't quite prepared with any real material this evening to be delivering to you here this evening. But I will tell you something. I decided that I would go through Phil's desk and find some of his show prep material and found some very interesting stuff that he's planning on doing here this evening on the program. I thought I would maybe usurp a little bit of that and maybe preempt some of that material and read to you some things that really need to be heard as grotesque as they may be. This is Halloween weekend, I should say, but certainly it's not Halloween night, but we should be mindful of a lot of the things that are going on out there that can be so devilish and so terrible, and some of this stuff is completely gruesome, and a lot of this stuff should not be allowed, and obviously we are enacting laws as we speak to try to keep these things from happening. This is Vic Prowl filling in for Phil Henry this evening. I'm going to tell you some scary stories here this evening, but as we tell these scary stories, I want you to be mindful of the fact this is heinous stuff, and obviously we've got these people walking the streets, and we can't have people like this walking the streets as long as we've got our children out there who are vulnerable to these individuals.
And as long as we have our wives and our daughters and whoever else who may be vulnerable to these individuals, and I think that time is right here in this country where we have to start to figure out how to lock up serial murderers and how we have to lock up these spree killers so that they don't kill again and do the things that they do that certainly visit so much heartache and so much misery on so many different people. One of the stories I want to talk to you a little bit about here this evening is the story of Albert Fish. I found this laying on Phil's desk, and I just wanted to tell you that while I do not know what it was that Phil had prepared for you, just reading this stuff gave me the chills. Reading this stuff made me want to vomit, made me want to puke all my dinner up listening and reading this material about this serial murderer from the early 20th century, I should say, by the name of Albert Fish. Albert Fish was talking to some New York police, and the New York police had suspected him in the abduction of a little boy by the name of Billy Gaffney. Billy Gaffney lived in New York City, and Billy Gaffney was a little boy who was out playing in his front yard, and Albert Fish abducted him and took him to Staten Island in sometime in the year 1927 or 1926 is when he abducted the little boy. Now, Albert Fish, of course, is a serial murderer, and up to this point had killed quite a few people. The New York police were not onto him yet. No, the New York police had not been onto him yet. But they find out, as Albert Fish confesses to the murder of Billy Gaffney, and I'll listen to this, and as you listen to this, keep in mind the things that we need to do to stop this from happening again. Albert Fish is talking to the New York City police, and this is what he said he did to little Billy Gaffney, a little boy. He says, "I brought him to the Riker Avenue dumps. There is a house that stands alone not far from where I took him. I took the boys there, stripped him naked and tied his hands and feet, gagged him with a piece of a dirty rag I picked out of the dump. Then I burned his clothes, threw his shoes in the dump, then walked back and took the trolley to 59th Street at 2 a.m. and walked there back to my home." Well, that's not all. Then the next day, around 2 o'clock, I took some tools, a good heavy cat of nine tails, homemade, short handle, cut one of my belts in half, slit these halves in six strips about eight inches long. I whipped his bare behind till the blood ran down his legs. I cut off his ears, his nose, slit his mouth from ear to ear, gouged out his eyes. He was dead then. I stuck the knife in his belly and held my mouth to his body and drank his blood. Are you ready for that? That is unbelievable. That's got to stop. That's the kind of stuff that we can't have going on in our country, that's for sure. Then he goes on to say what he did to the kid. "I picked up four old potato sacks, gathered a pile of stones, then I cut him up. I had a grip with me. I put his nose, ears, and a few slices of his belly in the grip. Then I cut him through the middle of his body, just below the belly button, then through his legs about 2 inches behind his, just 2 inches above the knees. I put this in my grip with a lot of paper. Then I cut off his head, his feet, his arms, hands, and legs below the knee. I put this into a sack, weighed it down with some stones, tied the ends, and threw them into the pools of slimy water you'll see along the road going to North Beach." So that's Albert Fish talking about what he did to this kid. This guy has got to be out of his mind. This guy is one of the kookiest guys that I think I've ever heard about. And I'll tell you something right now, I've been around in this world, but I've never heard of a guy that's quite as kooky as this guy, taking a kid, cutting the kid up into 50 million different pieces, and then putting him into a bag and carrying him back to his apartment. You have got to be kooky. You got to be way out there, and you've got to be a guy that's definitely cuckoo. Here, Vic Prell filling in the Phil Henry Show. Now, that's just one of these horrible, horrible crimes that was committed by Albert Fish when he was doing all of his crimes there in New York there in the early 20th century. Now, we'll move along to the story of Gracie Budd. Gracie Budd was a little girl that Albert Fish was abducting, and this is a little girl that he abducted in 1927 as well, and this is the one that really got this guy into some trouble. If you can find some of this material here for you, this is the story of Gracie Budd, if I can find some of this material. But basically what he did, he went to a house in New York, and he said that, "I'd like to take your daughter to a birthday party." And the parents said, "Well, okay, what parent wouldn't say that when a kindly old man stops at the door and says, 'Hi there, you don't know me, but I'd like to take your daughter to a birthday party filled with people that she hasn't met.'" And they naturally said, "Why, of course, go right ahead and take our 10-year-old daughter with you." Well, they walked along a remote road until they came to a little cottage called Wisteria Cottage. Well, She went and picked flowers, and he went inside and took his clothes off. Well, Fish grabbed her by her throat and choked her to death, and then, sexually aroused, he strangled her. He propped up her head on an old paint bucket, decapitated her, catching most of the blood in the paint can. Afterwards, he threw the bucket of blood out of the yard, he undressed the headless child, then he went back to her body and cut it in two with a butcher knife and a cleaver. Parts of her body he took with him wrapped in newspaper, the rest he left there until he returned several days later, when he threw the portions of her body over a stone wall into the back of the house. He disposed of his tools in the same fashion, and after his confession, Detective King had a final question: what caused you to do such a horrible thing? He said, you know, I never really could account for it. So that's the story there of Albert Fish. Now listen to how cuckoo this guy is. If that's not bad enough, check this out, because not only was the guy very sadistic, but he's also into masochism, and that is inflicting pain not only on himself, but on other human beings. Apparently, according to a psychiatrist that interviewed Albert Fish would take bits of cotton, saturate them with alcohol, insert them into his rectum, and set them on fire. There's a guy, man. You've got to party with a guy like this. He is way out there, taking bits of cotton, saturating them with alcohol, sticking them up his butt, and setting them on fire. I want to tell you something right now. I know how impressionable a lot of people in the audience are. I don't want you to try that tonight, okay? Even though Mike Schaefer's in there laughing his ass off, because I know he's going to go home tonight and try that one out. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is not funny. This is not funny. This is stuff that should not be done, cannot be done, will not be done. Not by anybody that I know. I'll tell you that right now. Then he told the psychiatrist he used to stick needles into his body for years in the area between the rectum and the scrotum. He told of doing this. At first, he said he only stuck the needles in and then pulled them out again, but then he left them in there. This guy's out of his mind. I gotta tell you something right now. This guy has gotta be crazy. Don't try that at home. Don't go home and take a knitting needle and stick it up your rear end or set cotton on fire and shove it up there either. That's Albert Fish. The guy's completely whack. The cat's completely out of his mind. And I gotta tell you something. People have gotta do something in this society to stop guys from putting cotton up their ass and setting it on fire, because I'll tell you something right now. This guy needs a doctor. Well, guess what? He doesn't need a doctor anymore, because they finally put him in the electric chair back in 1930. Albert Fish was iced. He was greased to the electric chair back in 1930. So thank God that this guy's off the streets and is not going to be arrowed down there to hurt anybody, no time. All right, this is Vic Prowl here, filling in to the Phil Henry Show, number 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking here, filling in the Phil Henry Show here tonight. Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. Vic Prowl filling in here tonight. I'm very, very honored to be filling in to the Phil Henry Show this evening. And you can call up at 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to do something right now. I just want to do something crazy, because a lot of times I like to take chances on the air. This is a little something different. And we're reading all about these serial murderers and all the kooky way out thing. How about this guy stuffing cotton soaked in alcohol right up his ass and setting it on fire? How about this guy? I'll tell you something, these are people that need to be stopped, because they're going to hurt other people, not only themselves, of course, but they're going to hurt other people, too. And I thought I'd try something kooky. Mike Crozier, the engineer of the Phil Henry Show, is here. And Mike, you know what we'd like to do is play a little of that spooky stuff, okay? I'm going to read a little bit more here about Albert Fish. He's got some... Ha-ha! There you go! Look at that, huh? A little wind blowing, all that stuff, huh? Got any of those wild, what do you call them, black cats? And yeah, I'm scared now. Oh, God almighty, I'm scared. There you go, that wild stuff, huh? Isn't that wild? That's wild! I love that kooked-out stuff, that wild-ass Halloween stuff, man. That wolf is wild. That is a cuckoo wild wolf, man. It's a wild wolf. That's a cuckoo wolf, that baby. Yeah, look at that, huh? Got the rain falling down and everything. We're going to get to the moon. The reason why we're doing this is we want to get to the moon here. And I'll tell you a little bit about all these murderers and serial killers and things. And the only way to do that here on a Halloween weekend is to kind of get all that spooky stuff, huh? There you go, that's getting me. Oh, what, I'm getting scared. I want to run out of here. Whoa! Katie, bar the door. I got to get home now, man. I got to get home. I got to go. I got to pour myself a couple of figures of Chivas Regal in a tumbler to calm my nerves down, because I am freaking out. Freaking out on that stuff. All right. Now, let's get back here to Albert Fish. Got some stuff here going on here with Albert Fish. According to the psychiatrist that interviewed Albert Fish, he said this. He said that Fish used to hit himself on his nude body with a nail-studded paddle until he was covered with blood, They also state that they used to see him standing alone on a hill with his hands raised, shouting, "I am Christ." This guy needs a soft room. There's no doubt about that. Then Fish told the doctor, "What I did must have been right, or an angel would have stopped me, just as an angel stopped Abraham in the Bible from sacrificing his son." Okay, so that makes kind of a, I guess in that guy's way out mindset, that stuff makes a little bit of sense. Remember our number, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Hey, look, we're going to take a phone call here from the host of the show. Phil Henry is on the line, and get his impressions here of what's going on there. Really kooky Halloween 99 here, Phil Henry. Hey, Phil, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Are we on the air, Vic?
Yeah, we're right on the air. Phil Henry, the host of the show, is checking in. What's up, Phil?
Okay, I have to... I got to tell you, I'm not really happy about what's going on.
Well, what are you be not happy about that? They see that sound effects. We got that cuckoo sound effect there with the Halloween.
Yeah, I hear the Halloween sound effects, and I guess that's really not... I'm not having a problem with that, with all the wind blowing, but... I'm hearing you reading some materials that you took from my desk.
Yeah, but I came in, I didn't have any material prepared for the show because I'm going to be filling in for you. So I decided to take some stuff off of your desk.
Well, that's good. and I know that it was short notice, and I know that I had to take care of some stuff, but I am having a problem, Vic, listening to you talking about the murder of a child as if you're introducing a new record by TLC. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about, Phil, but we're having a lot of fun, and I really appreciate you letting me fill in.
Yeah, but will you listen to me for just a second?
Sure, go right ahead, Phil.
Will you tell him to turn that stuff down?
What are you talking about? The spooky stuff. We really dig it.
Yeah, but can you hear me?
I can hear you good. We got a lot of spooky stuff going on. It's Halloween 99, Phil.
Yeah. Halloween 99. Vic, when you're talking about murder and serial murderers, you're making it sound as if you're at the carnival or something, like you're announcing...
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to...
Vic, just let me finish, okay? It sounds to me like you're making light of it or something.
I'm not making light of anything, Phil. I'm telling you something right now. What I'm doing is I'm letting people know that a lot of this stuff exists out there and how to protect their children. Hey, let me tell you something right now, Phil. We got David G. Hall, the program director of the station, and, of course, he's the vice president of syndication for your show. He's checking in right now, and we'd like to talk to David G. Hall, okay? David, how are you doing?
Vic, I'm doing really great. And I was thoroughly enjoying what you were doing on the air. I thought you were giving it a lot of... I love that cat.
That thing wild. That's a wild cat that Mike Crozier found in his little bag of treats. That thing wild.
That black cat is fantastic. Is Phil there?
Yeah, David, I'm right here.
All right. What are you doing?
What am I doing? He's talking about serial murder as if...
He was talking about some stuff that is absolutely fascinating. I was on the edge of my seat listening to this. What are you doing?
I called the show.
And yeah, you called the show, and you interrupted a real good energy and a real good flow.
That's what I was telling him, David. I think you really interrupted the energy and the flow.
That's right. You're interrupting the energy and the flow of the show when he's talking about serial murder.
I'm just trying to make people aware, David, as long as I know David Hall is the vice president of syndication, I'm trying to make people aware of the fact that this stuff exists.
That's right, Phil. He's trying to make people aware of the fact that this stuff exists. And you call up, and you start throwing a bucket of water on the whole thing.
He's not making it... What he's doing, David, is...
You know, you're taking up more valuable time complaining. If you wanted to do the hour, why didn't you get in here?
All I'm trying to do here, David, is give people a little bit of a thrill here on a Halloween 99 talking about serial murder.
Yeah, he's just giving people a little bit of a thrill on Halloween 99 talking about serial murder.
He's taking stuff off of my desk, and he's reading stuff. I had a whole way that I was going
to
do it.
Well, what do you expect a guy to do when you got to take care of your business? He doesn't have any time to prep a show. Now, why don't you just let the guy do what he's doing?
I'll tell you something right now, David. I think these sound effects, too, and all that spooky, wild wolf stuff and all that. Look at that. That stuff is great.
All those sound effects are great, Phil. Listen to that wild wolf and that spooky cat. He's way out there.
This stuff is way out there, and it's... Look at that. Hey, check it out. Sounds like a chick that I knew Fret Week. Yeah, that Rush Week at University of Florida. Check her out, huh?
Yeah, it sounds like some chick at Rush Week at University of Florida.
David, I don't care about the sound effects, okay? I'm talking about the fact that the guy is on the air talking about the murder of two children as if he's standing out in front of Pinocchio's in San Francisco.
All you wanted to do was call in and screw this thing up.
I'm talking about all these things, man. I'm giving it a kind of a balance, David, of information and, a little bit of theater, too.
He's giving her a balance of information and theater. He's making it not only informative, but he's also making it something that people really can enjoy. And you're calling up and messing it up.
Look, man, all I'm saying is that I think that he needs... I'm very emotional about it. Listen to the... What is that stuff? That's the sound effects.
Those sound effects, man. Sounds like a wolf or some kind of a banshee or something. Isn't that kooky?
That stuff is really kooky, Phil. It really works like a banshee or a wolf or something.
Look at... I can't hear myself think, all right? I just am very, very concerned that the guy is on here... What is that, the beating heart or something?
Yeah, it's a beating heart, man, like Edgar Allan Poe's beating heart.
It's right out of Edgar Allan Poe, the beating heart. What the hell is wrong with you? Don't you read the classics? And what is wrong with you that you call in and interrupt some of the most fascinating stuff that I've ever heard? It's Halloween night. That's stuff that I really love.
That's the telltale heart they're telling me now. That was called the beating heart.
Yeah, it's called the telltale heart. It ain't the beating heart. Hey, listen to that scream and all that stuff.
Look it, man. You can have all the Halloween stuff you want. You don't call in and start... You don't start reading stuff about... Kids getting butchered up.
That was really interesting.
You hear all that part about how he cut that kid up and put him into a suitcase?
Yeah, what about the part where he cut the kid up and put him in a suitcase?
What about it, man? It doesn't sound to me like the kind of thing that anybody...
Well, now here we are at the break, okay? Because of your big, fat mouth, I won't find out how it happened and how it, what happened to her.
She died. That's what happened to her.
We'll be right back here. Phil Henry's show, 1-800-449-8686. I had stuff to do, but I gotta, you know, when you gotta get in here, you gotta, when Vic Prell's gotta go, he's gotta go. So that sort of messes up what I was gonna do. But if we get the appropriate spooky music... We can forget that Albert Fish stuff. I wasn't even going to read that. I was going to read the grown-up stuff, the Henry Lee Lucas stuff. That's the stuff that I was going to read. I'm going to read that Albert Fish crap. I mean, I printed that stuff off, but, I mean, that guy's a nutcase. Putting cotton up his butt and lighting it on fire. Good God. Is it the first guy in history to do that? I feel one coming on. Watch this. And you'll forget about the Bic lighter, man. You put cotton up there soaked in alcohol. Jesus. It's going to be like a gas fire in Iraq. In any event, let's get... Bud?
Yeah?
I gotta get back into this. I need to get some spooky music.
All right, I'm going to stand by.
I need to get the spooky Halloween stuff. You know the stuff I'm talking about?
Yeah, I got to get it right here. Go ahead, start reading, and then I got it going.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I know what you're talking about. Just read.
Joe Don Weaver. Keep in mind, we're talking about Henry Lee Lucas, the deadly drifter, serial murderer. Joe Don Weaver liked the pre-dawn hours more than any other. He hated the day shift of the Montague County lockup because it usually meant dealing with the... When are we getting the music?
Never mind, stand by. Stand by for the Halloween music.
I got it already, okay?
Stand by.
I got that. Do it, all right?
All right.
On one particular morning, the 15th of June, 1993, his peaceful reverie was shattered by shouting coming from a cell at the far... What is that? Turn it off! I can't do anything, all right? Turn it off!
Stand by, Joe.
I ain't standing by. There ain't no Halloween music. Turn the music off! Thank you. God! That ain't Halloween music, man.
Stand by. I gotta find it. Everything's messed up with Vic Prowl.
Was Vic into the music?
Yeah, he got into the music.
Well, find the stuff that we're supposed to use, okay? Good God.
All right, get to a spooky part for crying out loud so the music will be sound better.
All right, we'll get to a spooky part. A feeble voice answered through the heavy steel door. There's a light in here. Weaver didn't have to look into the cell to know that it was pitch black. No, there's not, he said. The voice became more... Are we going to have music or not?
Stand by, I'm getting it.
Weaver didn't have to look into the cell to know that it was pitch black. The voice became more insistent, almost fearful. There's a light and it's talking to me. What is that? You want to give me some Halloween music, man? Or do I got to sit here and wait around for the Halloween music, okay?
Well, Vic Prell, come in here and grab all the cards.
We'll find out where Prell is. Prell.
Yeah, Phil, what's going on?
Did you mess with my music?
Yeah, I did. I didn't mess with the music. My Crosby with the music.
Well, the stuff's all screwed up, man. I had Halloween music sitting here.
You gonna read about all that serial murder stuff?
Yeah, I'm gonna read about the serial murder stuff better than you did. Now, what did you do with my music?
You screwed it all up, Phil.
Bull crap! I didn't screw it up. Who the hell are you, you little hunchback?
Well, I'm going to kick your ass.
Hey, let me tell you something. David Hall said I did a really good job.
God, get out of here. Just bug off.
Well, I'll help you find it.
No, forget it. Forget it.
Call me a hunchback.
I know he did.
Don't call him a hunchback, motor mouth, okay? Well, the guy looks like a little hunchback.
Hunchback.
Yeah, that's cruel.
It's okay, bud. All right, here we go. Have you got the Halloween?
I got a Halloween musical lineup, Phil. Go ahead.
Let me get to the scary stuff.
You get to the scary stuff. Just forget about this stuff, okay?
All right. A short time later, another louder yell echoed down the hall. Jailer, come here quick. Weaver returned to the cell and unlocked the food service hatch in the door and peered inside. What is it this time? The prisoner, Henry Lee Lucas, answered in a quiet, feeble tone. Joe Don, I've done some pretty bad things. Okay, cue the Halloween music. Weaver, aware of the cry. What the hell is that? What is this, Lord of the Dance? What do you mean that's the closest you can come? That ain't Halloween music, man. That's Lord of the freaking Dance.
Just go ahead. I'll find some.
Yeah, hey, thank you. Weaver, aware of the crimes that Lucas was suspected of, answered brusquely, if it's what I think it is, Henry, you better get down on your knees and pray. After a long pause, Lucas asked weakly, Joe Don, can I have some paper and a pencil? Weaver agreed to the strange request, and nearly an hour later, Lucas handed him a short letter that was addressed to Sheriff Bill F. Conway. After reading the opening paragraph, Weaver returned to his office and placed an urgent call to Sheriff Conway. Even at such an early hour, am I going to get any Halloween music before the night is out, okay?
I'm still looking.
Because I've been reading here for 5 minutes. I need to have the atmosphere, okay?
Stand by for atmosphere.
Stand by for atmosphere. All right. I'm standing by for something seasonal, okay?
You want something that reflects the season.
Yes, the Halloween season. Go.
I gotta get it. Go ahead, read.
After reading the opening paragraph, Weaver returned to his office and placed an urgent call to the goddamn you, Dickman. There, that's what you get. That's right. What did I do?
You slapped me.
That's right, I slapped you.
Why?
1999 by Prince ain't no Halloween music, okay?
Well, it's 1999.
I know the year, man. It ain't got nothing to do with Halloween. It's a New Year's song if ever I heard one. Now get me some Halloween music.
All right, I got this stuff. Go ahead, start reading.
Sheriff Conway had originally arrested Henry Lee Lucas in October 1982 in regard to the disappearance and suspected murder of Kate. What the hell is this?
Sunny day, sleeping up.
Sheriff Lucas had arrested him in the murder of Kate.
Read it, will you, for crying out loud?
Sheriff Lucas.
Make it work, Phil. Make it work.
All right. Sheriff Conway had originally arrested Henry Lee Lucas in October of 1982 in regard to the disappearance.
Come on, make it dramatic.
I'm making it dramatic, okay? The music's blowing my mind, man.
It's Halloween, believe me. It's kids.
In 1982, in regard to the disappearance of suspected murder of Kate Rich, an 80-year-old widow who had employed Henry as an odd-job man, Lucas was also questioned about the mysterious disappearance of his 15-year-old common-law wife, Frida Becky Powell.
Great! That was fantastic!
What was fantastic about that?
That was perfect! Beautiful Halloween movie! Okay, keep reading. Keep reading.
4 days after the arrest, Conway, who had earned the nickname Hound Dog for his dogged, almost mystical ability to track down suspects, questioned Lucas constantly. This is not Halloween.
Keep reading it.
At one stage, anxious to crack Lucas's
read it, will you, for Christ's sake, read!
At one stage, anxious to crack Lucas's confident demeanor, he deprived Lucas of the two things.
You know what? Hold on. Hey, Mike, kill it. You know what? This stuff sucks that you're reading.
Well, the stuff that I'm reading sucks.
That's why it's not working. It's not scary.
Oh, I see. The music's perfect, but the crap I'm reading ain't working.
It ain't working. Get some of that vampire stuff.
Well, I mean, if you think so.
Get the vampire, it'll work.
I thought it was the music.
It's not the music's perfect. It's Halloween music. You're not reading. You're reading stuff that's crappy. Read about the vampire. Read about the guy in Sacramento.
All right. Richard Trenton Chase, the vampire killer of Sacramento.
No, I'll cue the music. Don't worry. In fact, take your headphones off.
Why?
Because you're getting distracted by the music. Just take your headphones off.
All right. You sure it's going to be Halloween?
It's going to be Halloween music. Rita, you're going to love it, Phil. You're the best. You're number one, baby. You're number one in my book.
All right. Make sure it's very Halloween.
I got it. Read it.
This is the story of the vampire killer of Sacramento, Richard Trenton Chase. He had many problems. Prior to his four-day killing spree in January of 1978, Chase had been institutionalized, during which time... Are you playing the music?
Yeah, we're playing it. Go.
He'd been institutionalized, during which time he complained that his head kept changing shape and that someone had stolen his pulmonary artery. His behavior was so strange that the staff called him Dracula. However, in 1977, it was assessed that due to his medication, his delirium was under control and he was released. Naturally, upon his release, Chase stopped taking his medication. He became convinced that his blood was turning to powder and that his mother was being paid by a Nazi crime syndicate to poison him. Chase also heard voices in his head, voices that told him how to prevent his blood from turning to powder. And so began Chase's four-day spree, at the end of which he claimed six lives. He chose his victims at random, and after murdering them... You sure the music's playing?
The music's playing, go!
He chose his victims at random, and after murdering them, he drained their blood, blended it with various body organs, and drank the mixture, just as the voices had told him to do. He also took some body parts home with him. Due to the amount of evidence he left at the crime scenes, it took only 4 days before he was arrested. The evidence found at his home put his guilt beyond doubt. On top of everything, Chase felt his problems were worsening. He told police he was now being stalked by, amongst other things, aliens. Just after Christmas of 1980, Chase died in jail of an overdose of antidepressants.
Perfect. That was great. That was great.
What kind of music did you have?
It was Halloween stuff. Real spooky stuff. That is bitching. Me, I had to kind of tape it off and put it on a CD.
It was that good?
Oh, God damn. Hey, Mike, is that beautiful? Is it beautiful? God damn it, man. You hit it out of the park, Phil.
Well, you sure you had the good music?
We had the good music.
Can I put my headphones back on?
No, don't put them on. Read the other vampire one.
Was that good, huh?
Yeah, we're gonna put on the seat. It was great. It was real creepy. People are calling in. They're all scared, wet in their pants. One guy crapped in his pants on 405. A little bit of dribble out between...
Okay, fine. Great. He crapped in his pants on a 405. You want me to take the headphones off?
Take them off.
You gonna play the music?
I'm gonna play the music.
Here we go. Bathory was born in 1560 into a powerful family. Her father was an ally of Ferdinand I of Habsburg, and her cousin Stefan would be Prince of Transylvania and King of Poland. At the age of 15, she married Ferenc Nadasti, the Black Hero of Hungary. But for most of their marriage, she was left in privacy in numerous isolated castles. However, it seems it wasn't until her husband's death in 1604 that Bathory's disciplinary methods changed from the commonplace cruelty inflicted by nobles on their servants to the vicious torture which eventually led to her infamy. Bathory's... Is the music...
It's good. Every time you stop, you ruin it. Keep going.
I'm sorry. Bathory's first concern upon arrival at one of her castles was to establish a suitably placed torture chamber, though it seems most of the bloodletting was done at Seth Castle. She had a range of apparatus that included all the traditional horrors. Her tools of torture included branding irons, torches, knives, razors, and custom-made silver pincers.
Beautiful, Phil. Beautiful. That's good cut.
But I'm not even half done with it.
No, beautiful. We'll pick it up when you come on the other side of break. Come on a break right now. You're best beautiful.
It's good enough to put on the CD, huh?
Oh, God. Everybody calling in. Everybody all scared and everything about everything. Mike Crozier's scared. Me too. And his wife is in there. She's all scared. That's great.
Well, what kind of music is...
No, never mind the music. My ass is sweating. That's how good it was.
All right, man. I mean,
You give it. You know what I love about you, Phil, man? You give it a great read, man. It's just a beautiful thing.
All right. Well, so we...
Yeah, we come back, we'll do it.
All right, when we come back, we'll finish up the vampire thing then here. It's the Phil Henry Show. Thank you, bud.
Yeah, it's okay. You're great.
1-800-449-8686. So, we have a few vampire stories to tell you tonight. We still have to get to our Henry Lee Lucas material, and we're playing some spooky music, right, bud?
Yeah, we got all kinds of spooky music.
and I want it seasonal, okay?
Yeah, I don't want you wearing a headphones because it distracts you.
All right, I'm going to take my headphones off because I don't know. You weren't doing it.
I got it. It's all right.
All right, Bud's going to play some spooky music, and we'll continue with the story of Elizabeth Bathory, Vampire. Bathory's first concern upon arrival at one of her castles was to establish a suitably placed torture chamber, though it seems most of the bloodletting was done at Seth Castle. She had a range of apparatus that included all the... Why are those people laughing in there?
They're not doing anything.
Why are they laughing? Wait a second. I want to hear the music that's being played. I want to hear it. I'm going to take my headphones off. Play the music you're playing.
Here it is right here.
That's the music you're playing?
Yeah.
Then why was everybody laughing?
They're not laughing. They were overcome with the way you're reading it. Take your headphones off.
All right, I'll take my headphones off. I just don't know why people are laughing.
Read it. Read it.
Her tools of torture included branding irons, torches, knives, razors, and custom-made silk. They're still laughing in there. I want to hear the music, okay?
Yeah, it's right here.
Well, why are they laughing?
I don't know, Phil. They're loving what you're... They don't know what you're talking about. Take the headphones off and do it. See how distracted you get? Take them off.
All right.
Start reading.
Sometimes she would participate directly in the torture, and other times she would howl instructions from her carefully positioned high chair. Her victims were often beaten beyond recognition, had their fingers cut off with scissors, or were hauled naked into the snow where they would be drenched with buckets of water and left to freeze. I can still see people laughing in there.
They're not laughing. They're not laughing.
Give me the headphones. I want to hear this music. Why? I don't understand if we're playing spooky music while they're laughing.
I don't know. You know what it is? When that whole thing about her sitting in a high chair.
What part was that?
You were sitting there about her in a high chair. They laugh at that. It's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
Take off the... Give me the headphones. I don't want you to wear them.
All right.
All right, great.
According to some reports, there were occasions where Bathory was forced to move to richer pastures simply because she had exhausted the supply of young girls from the surrounding peasantry. Not even illness stopped her. Not even illness would keep her from killing. Her 1611 trial transcripts described how peasant girls would be brought to her sickbed so she could bite pieces of flesh from their shoulders and faces. The accounts of her trial and the correspondence relating to the case, including some of Bathory's own letters and writing, were so harrowing they were suppressed until the 18th century. However, given her reputation...
What are you doing?
People are in there laughing, and I want to know why they're laughing, okay? Let me have my headphones.
I'm not going to give you headphones.
Give me the headphones. Now, let me hear this music. Well, they're laughing about something, okay? Because every time I turn around, they're laughing.
Don't worry about it. Take the headphones off.
However, given her reputation, it may be disappointing to learn there is no documentary evidence that Bathory ever bathed in the blood of virgins. Such stories...
Yes, sir, let's get it going.
Such stories were popularized in 19th century accounts of her...
Keep going, man. They're not laughing at you.
Well, you guys are playing some kind of music that I can't hear.
No, it's good. It's spooky music. Here it is. I'm going to play it for you. It's great stuff. Now, take the headphones off. Come on, bring it home, baby. Take the headphones off.
All right, I'll take my headphones off. At her trial, which she did not attend, she was saved from facing the death penalty by her...
Come on, Philly, go ahead.
By her political connections. Instead, she was sentenced to life imprisonment and was bricked up alive in her castle, where she died in 1640. That's the scariest part, and everybody's laughing.
Do it, man, do it, you're doing great.
Aided and abetted by a retinue of sadistic crones, it is estimated that Bathory tortured and murdered anywhere between 1,500 to 1,600 girls. The number varies depending upon which reports you read. Protected by her powerful connections, Bathory seems to have committed these atrocities simply because no one stopped her.
Oh, yeah!
Let me hear the... Aha! Leave it to freaking Beaver, huh? That's what you were playing, huh?
No, I was listening to myself. I swear to God, I went there. Here's the music.
No, man. I heard Leave It to Beaver. Where's Leave It to Beaver coming from?
No, man. I swear to God, we were playing spooky music.
What is that? What's that rum-pum-pum?
No, that's that. It's Johnny. He's doing production. Johnny's in the other studio. He's doing production.
Johnny's in the other studio doing production.
Yeah, it's bleeding through, that's all. Must be interference from Johnny's doing production, doing Christmas production.
Is that bleeding through the other studio? I just heard rump-a-pum-pum again.
No, I swear to God, Johnny's doing Christmas production.
What's he doing Christmas production for 2 days before freaking Halloween?
You know how it is, man. They get busy.
I can hear it again. It's coming through my headphones.
No. You're not hearing nothing. You're hearing the spooky music.
But I just heard that.
No, you're hearing nothing. Everything's fine. Calm down. Come on, keep reading.
Aided and abetted by a retinue of sadistic crones, it is estimated that Bathory tortured up to be... What is that?
There's nothing. It's coming through.
What was that? What is that?
Nothing. Listen, I swear to God.
Aided and abetted by a retinue of sadistic crones... I heard it again.
What'd you hear?
I heard it again.
What?
I heard that Leave It to Beaver. And then I heard the little drummer boy.
Phil, can I make a suggestion?
What?
Why don't you go out and get yourself a drink of water?
I'm nuts now. You saying I'm nuts?
No, just go get a drink of water, because I don't know what's going on with you.
There it is!
Yes. It's fine, Phil. Come on.
Should I get some water?
Here, go get some water. You're flipping out, man.
I swear to God, I just heard it again.
No, it's not Beaver. It's not Beaver. You'd know Beaver if you heard it. Beaver.
I'm hearing Little Drummer Boy.
No, it's not there. Just go get some water.
Will you do the break?
I'll do the break. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.